We are super colorful today.
We are.
Chelsea's all in marigold and lavender.
You know, love that. That looks so, it reminds me of like a ballerina wrap.
Yeah, I think that's what it sort of like brings me back to. I've had over the years like several different variations of, what do you call this? Like a wrap sweater? Yeah. Wrap sweater? It's not a wrap dress. But yeah, it does make me feel
like
I could just fly away or pirouette. At any moment. Welcome, everybody, to Around the Mic on SoJo 104.9. This is our podcast. Welcome to it if this is your first time listening. Thanks for joining us today. We've got some interesting topics. I'm Heather DeLuca, your I almost said midday host, but that's you now.
That's me.
I'm your PM drive host on SoJo, weekdays 3 to 7. With me is Chelsea Corinne. Middays,
hello.
10 to 3. And I think we should just jump right in. Last week, we talked about our obsession with television serial killers and how we sort of find ourselves not only sympathizing with them, but being somewhat attracted to them as well. And I feel bad because we got so hung up on James Spader's character, Raymond Reddington, from The Blacklist, that we totally forgot to mention what spawned the idea to talk about that in the first place, which is this series, You.
Yeah, which is actually, I binge watched it in one day. I watched it Sunday, woke up at like 7. I finished it at like 2 a.m. And that was also with like doing other things throughout the day. It is, I get it. I get why people are obsessed with it. And I get why people like the character Joe, who is a psychopath. However, I wasn't as obsessed with him as I am with other characters. And I don't know what it is. Like, he is a very, very attractive man. Penn, whatever his last name is.
So we're talking about Penn Badgley, who, if you were a fan of Gossip Girl, you know, he was like the effervescent good guy, Dan Humphries. And so for him to take on this stalker / psychopath in this series, which began on Lifetime and I think was picked up by Netflix, which, you know, they have a different kind of autonomy over how they can, you know, series once they jump to something like Netflix. It's like all bets are off. There's no network restrictions, you know, to worry about. So it's kind of got loosely going, kind of under the radar, sleeper hit on Lifetime. And now it's all over social media. Everybody's talking about the show.
And I'm interested to see what happens season two, because now they won't have any restrictions. You said that with being on Netflix now.
Yeah.
But it is this character who is extremely attractive, and he has these moments that are, we're like, oh, he's like an adorable boyfriend. I want him as my boyfriend. He is so sweet.
The boy next door.
He's doting on her and is just so enamored with this girl. And in their sweet moments, it's adorable.
And is it Shay Mitchell from?
Shay Mitchell's in it.
Okay, from Pretty Little Liars.
Yes, she's in it.
Gotcha.
And she plays the best friend of the lead character, Beck. And he's enamored with this girl Beck, which is again good until it's not, and it flicks like it's like flipping a switch.
Uh-huh.
It's like that, and then all of a sudden he goes into this like psychopath. At first, the stalking wasn't so weird. It sounds weird to say it, but he has social media stalking her, which everybody does.
It seemed harmless.
Yes, and then by the end of the first episode, you're like, oh no, this guy's nuts. But you still wanted them to be together. You still wanted it to work. Even at the season finale, which if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. Even by the season finale, you were still kind of hoping. And in your head, you're thinking, why do I want these two people together? He's a terrible human being.
I think it's like you're looking for that redeeming moment of that character.
It. Yes.
So how that conversation evolves to what we're talking about today is we're sort of examining what the pension potential would be for us to, I'm just gonna straight out say it, commit murder. Do we all innately have the ability?
Yes. And it sounds like a very definitive answer, but I think so. And I think of it as just like a biology standpoint, is that for most of human existence, we were hunters and we were killers. We were defending our own families and throughout history. Killing has been such a major thing in human nature. To just say over the past less than 100, you know, only not a very long period of time where it wasn't a necessity anymore, that all of a sudden we don't have that in us.
And it was kill Doubtful. Or be killed.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine being the two first humans on the planet, or just the the first of a few. And then you like, you kill someone else. You probably look down and be like, oh, all right, well, I did that. That's done. Yeah. It's like there were no moral codes yet to say that's wrong. Murder is wrong. It was just instinctual.
And I think, and even when it comes to not just like killing a human, but like hunting and everything like that, I think it's just in our DNA of this survival instinct that if it comes down to it, I think everybody's capable of it. I think everybody's capable of doing it without remorse. Because I think the drive for survival purposes, I'm not saying like murder for murder's sake, but I'm saying survival purposes. If you are there in the thick of it, I think maybe you'll have a flint of remorse at first, but then in the long run, it was the, like you said, kill or be killed. And you can't, your DNA is telling you, no, that's the only decision you can make. You are trying to survive. And that's what everybody's trying to do all the time.
If it's a fight or flight situation where my life or the life of someone that I know or love, or I happen to unfortunately like witness something, I do think it is that fight or flight, that adrenaline just takes over. I mean, I know that I am not necessarily young, but I am still reasonably attractive and very protective of my body. Not to quote Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but I just did. And so I sleep with like a paring knife underneath my pillow, because if somebody's going to break into my house at night, my husband is like essentially legally blind. Like he thinks like, oh, I'll just get up swinging. Like, are you kidding? You can't even see me in the dark half of the time. You can't see 5 feet in front of your face. Like it's going to be on me to protect myself. And if somebody gets on top of me and wants a piece of this, they're going to get some metal right in the jugular.
Exactly.
But I still think I'd feel guilty about it after if he expired. You know?
I don't want to keep saying I don't know, because then I feel like if any of my close, like anybody near me gets murdered, I'm going to look like the first suspect. I'm not saying I just want, but I'm thinking of how it's going to play out. You know?
Around the Mic podcast, episode 38, exhibit number one, Your Honor. Oh my God. And then I'm going to have to come to court and testify and my palms will be sweaty. But
honestly, as prepping for this podcast, I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, Chelsea, like, be careful of what you say, because if anything happens, you're going to look like suspect number one. I'm just thinking of it as a human nature overall, not just me personally, but I am a human, so I guess I'm included in that.
But what do you think? It was law enough, the invention or the institution of law was enough to draw humans back from doing what was in one time instinctual? Because now we've evolved to our brains knowing, as a normal human being, Chelsea, you and I know it's not okay to just kill somebody.
Yeah. I would think it would be it started off with before it was like organized society, it was religion, but religion has laws. So you can't, that's kind of goes hand in hand of saying that, you know, there are, you know, with Christianity, there's the 10 and there's 10 commandments. So that is a law. So I would say, yeah, law and having a moral compass from pre-society times was a religion thing before it was a society thing.
Can you imagine how great it must have been? I think everybody can relate to this. And please, this is pure sarcasm, but I don't want to like incriminate myself here, but how great it must have been if like they're all working around the fire and you got a bunch of like workers and then you've got a slacker worker over here just kind of like kicking rocks and doing stuff, and like to just grab them and like throw them off a cliff. Like, which is, I think, sometimes what you want to do with people you work with. You know, you go there mentally in your mind, like, if I could just really get away with strangling this person right now, I would. And but back then, you know, it was just like,
like vigilantism should be a thing. And they do it. Rumor has it, I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but they say in the Philippines that the government gives a reward if you kill a drug dealer. And I don't know if it's true. I'm going by off of what my brother told me. But I think vigilantism should be a thing.
But then it becomes the purge. Everybody decides, I'm a vigilante. And this person wronged somebody else, so I'm just going to knock them off.
I just watch way too many comic book TV shows and movies to want this to be a real thing, though. Like Daredevil? Ugh.
I know, but like, why there are law enforcement officers, police officers, investigators, and not vigilantes is because you have to have some sort of evidentiary support. You can't just, vigilantes just go off suspicion.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard you grabbed my cousin's bum in the bar. All right, well, I'm taking you out.
What about, like Batman? He worked for the police, technically. So then he does what they can't do.
Well, he's hot.
Exactly.
We're going to exclude superheroes from this narrative entirely. So what do you think? Do you think that the average everyday person, like, have you ever actually truly gotten mad enough at somebody that you felt a rage come over you that you could commit homicide?
No. Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
Not yet. I think everybody at some point in their life has that flash moment of like,
It's really sad. I think you could kill somebody and just keep on walking.
Who, me? You're not the first person to have said that. You're not. That's the sad part of this conversation.
We got to be very careful around Chelsea around here.
I'm not going to kill anybody.
You just never know when she's going to, oops.
But I've been told that before.
Oops. You tripped there. You fall down a flight of stairs. Now. Okay, we want to know if you think the average everyday person, not somebody with clinical psychopathic tendencies, has the ability to commit murder without regret. Let us know in the comments somewhere. Tweet us. I don't know. If you want to tell us we're just absolutely maniacal for even having this conversation, that's okay too.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Totally cool.
Yeah, we like attention. We're codependent. So
we are. It's a problem.
So from there we go to eggs.
Yeah. I'm so confused of this conversation.
Begins with eggs were very popular in the news this week because an egg, a single lone egg, uncooked egg, just in its shell, standing upright, beat out Kylie Jenner for the most viewed photo ever on Instagram.
Like billions of people. Humans. I love human beings and how sad
egg.
We are that this has happened. And I applaud you. Congratulations. This is where society has led. This is why they joke the aliens won't come to see us.
We are so easily entertained.
This is why.
We would look at the aliens and be like, did you bring an egg?
Gosh, so, it's so sad.
So Chelsea and I and a few other coworkers were like trying to live our best lives in January and shed a little bit of, you know, holiday weight.
Oh, this goes before holiday.
Let's just say that this goes back to like Hoagie Fest 2017. But that's okay. So Chelsea has been on a regimen that has her eating, you know, a lot of hard-boiled eggs. And I like hard-boiled eggs, and they say it's like the easiest culinary thing to be able to do. Like boiling water, boiling hard-boiled eggs is where it starts for every American housewife.
Clearly not for you, as I'm assuming where the story is going.
Well, I mean, I've done it, but I've undercooked them sometimes. I followed all the rules, take them out, throw them in an ice bath. They'll be easier to crack a shell. You know, I've had gadgets that help you crack the shell. They're just so much more trouble than they're worth. So on occasion, like, we've talked about I had them today, the two hard boiled eggs that come in the package that they sell at like Wawa and other stores, and they're already deshelled, which is like a beautiful thing, you would think. But we're in the grocery store, my husband and I, a couple weeks ago, and I said I really should make some hard boiled eggs and just keep them for food prep purposes for this week. And we're in the dairy aisle, which that's a whole other thing. Eggs are not dairy, so I don't know why they're kept in the dairy aisle. Do you know that?
Yeah,
They're actually considered part of the meat family. That's why that's where they are on the food diagram.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we see a whole bag of those, like,
yeah, the one that I bought, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The hard-boiled eggs, and Sean's like, "Look at this! You can just buy this." And I looked at him. I said, "No, that's cheating."
No, it's not.
And he's like, "What?" I was like, "No, that's cheating. This is ridiculous." I said, "As a community, I'm talking to three different people in my home that don't even have physical bodies. They're just voices. They don't exist. And now you're telling me like I'm going to just buy an entire, when I have a perfectly good crate of eggs sitting in the refrigerator that are there for me free right now, I'm going to cheat and buy these?"
I feel really judged right now. Really, really harshly judged.
I think it was for myself, but when Chelsea, you walked into the studio with those yesterday, I had a very visceral reaction to, oh my God, she cheated, but now I should have too.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff I gotta get done. I don't have time to, like, I mean, I shouldn't say time, because it doesn't take long to hard-boil an egg, but
isn't that, I'm sorry, oh my God, we've become lazy AF.
I'm okay with that. Because I am lazy over me. AF. Like, I'm fine with that. I have accepted that in my life. I know that. I'm okay with that.
I think I was mad at myself because I'm like, gosh, can't I get a hard-boiled egg right just once?
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. I want to get, is that egg, those egglets, that little thing you see on the as seen, seen on TV, is that cheating too? Because you sort of crack the egg into the container and then you microwave it?
I don't know. I don't, I've never tried it, but so, don't know.
Do you guys consider like just buying a bag of hard-boiled eggs like cheating?
No.
I feel like a bad wife.
I'm gonna answer for them.
I feel like a bad wife and a bad human and lazy AF, like I said. But it's all right.
I think it is.
I had to today. I didn't even want to tell you that I had to, but you saw me with them.
I didn't see you with them, but now I know.
Somebody did.
Way to throw yourself under the bus.
Oh, my God. I just was like, oh, my God. I can't believe I have to buy something someone else did for me.
I'm okay with it.
It felt like a diva moment.
I think... Interesting enough, I think if you bought the eggs, like I have, that's a diva moment because you're not doing it. But you getting mad at other people, I don't think is a diva moment, which is ironic in this situation.
Okay.
I've helped you out and just threw myself under the bus, but that's fine. Okay. I'm okay with that.
I mean, shortcuts. I think it was like, you know, maybe it's just that it's the new year and I'm trying really hard to just like not be the person that takes shortcuts. I'm trying to like do the work. But okay.
I don't know. I wrote an article the other day about New Year, same me, and that I'm still going to be a hot mess, and I've accepted that in my life.
God, we try so hard. That. Starts off so well.
I blame, like, the Amy Poehlers of the world and all rom-coms that have the hot mess friend that everybody wants to be friends with, because I have now become that person, and it's not my fault.
Oh,
it's
you're no
media.
Supporting actress, Chelsea. You're a lead act.
I am, but Amy Poehler's usually a lead act, and she's still always a hot mess in her.
Well, she is movies. Sort of kind of the friend.
Yeah.
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 That's all right. Everybody needs a friend like that to point out
I'm glad
that you can
shoes.
Be lazy AF yeah. and a diva when you want to.
Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of the first of the year, we're coming to a new segment I'm going to call The Bitter End. insert glass crashing sound effects here. And
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Like
this was my only prop.
Push
pins.
We can add it in
actually,
post.
Actually, this sounds like it would make like a good like New Year's Eve like sort of
noisemaker.
I'm gonna have to remember that for next year.
You're just gonna go buy boxes of push pins.
Yeah. Well, no, just that one. I'm gonna take that one.
Oh,
wherever
okay.
I go, I'm gonna tape it up.
Okay.
Zhuzh it up a little bit with a little glitter.
Okay.
I digress. So the bitter end is where we are going to break down some of Hollywood's craziest divorces and maybe even some real life divorces that became super high profile.
Yes.
So it's the top of the year and Jeff and his wife, Mackenzie Bezos, seem like they have it all, right? Richest man on earth. She's a novelist in her own right. So earlier this week, Jeff Bezos, who is the richest man in America on Earth.
In the world.
In the world. He's got $138 billion net worth.
Not for long.
I love this story so much. This is a man who I have loved and adored because he's made my life so good by bringing us Amazon.
Yes.
You know, he's a philanthropist. He's like a Bill Gates. He gives away millions of dollars. He apparently was very giving, not to his wife, Mackenzie, who he's been married to
like 25 years,
since,
right?
Yeah, for 25 years. They announced this week that they are separating and grateful for that they were in each other's lives for the time that they were.
Oh, she's
and they will
grateful.
Continue on as friends. Well, she's going to be very grateful because I believe she's getting half of his net worth because there was what? No?
No prenup. And no post-nuptial agreement when he got wealthy from Amazon. This guy is an idiot.
He must have really thought it was going to last. Enter Jessica Sanchez.
I would rather be the wife than the mistress at this point. Because the wife, like, yeah, you're getting a divorce, but you're also getting, like, over $60 billion.
Like, so they think money can't fix a broken heart?
Yeah, no, I am okay. I challenge at this point. That. I want to be the wife. I don't want to be the mistress, because now she's only going to be a part of his life for half of his net worth, and he won't be the richest man anymore. It'll be Bill Gates. So,
and do you think he's now? Her name is Lauren Sanchez. Is okay. that correct?
I have no idea. Again, I don't care about her because she's not getting all the money.
Okay, yeah. Her name is Lauren Sanchez, and she is. She actually was a correspondent on the TV show Extra for a time. She does look familiar. She is almost 50 years old. She's good looking. So apparently she and her husband were very good friends with the Bezoses. And just as early as like a couple weeks ago, they were all seen together, like hanging out at a Golden Globes after party. And then the news drops that this is friends with benefits kind of situation between the two of them. And maybe serious enough that they could be getting married, Chelsea said.
I saw that they were already talking about there's a good chance that after his divorce that they will be getting married.
So you think, like, I mean, he's...
I mean, he's still going to be worth over $60 billion. I know, but you could have had him at $138 billion. And kids.
He's going to have a prenup.
This time, he's not going to be this dumb again.
I think it doesn't last because of that.
Yeah.
I think that this, you know, I hope that they're in love. I hope it's real. To end a 25-year marriage and be willing to put, knowing, to be willing to put your $138 billion, you know, maybe he's happy to give it to her. I don't know. When you have that much money,
I guess at that,
what
you're
is
not
half of $138 billion?
It's like 60
some All right,
odd
that's
billion.
Math. So you can't get by on $68 billion. Maybe he was just, like, happy to give it to her. I don't know.
Maybe.
But that,
I'm excited for their kids. Those Christmases, because like divorced parents, oh, their Christmases are about to get so much better.
They're
going
to be trying to outbuy each other.
Pin them against each other, because that's what kids do. Oh, this is going to be so great. And I almost hope he doesn't have a prenup on this one, because I want him to be that stupid for a second time.
I hate these cliche, quintessential cheating stories. I can't even say he found a younger woman, because she's actually 2 years older than Jeff Bezos' soon-to-be ex-wife. But, you know, to see a woman who was with her man and stood by her man through his successes and propped him up and raised his kids. She's, like I said, she's a novelist, so she has a career of her own. She has some very good books, by the way. I would check her out. Let's support Mackenzie Bezos with her only $67 billion now. It's a hardship.
It's going to be a hard life.
You know, to just be that cliche of a guy, that this guy, the richest man in the world, he still falls victim to something. Mm-hmm. So just out of, you know, a romance novel or a Lifetime TV movie.
I'd be mad at if I were him, my lawyers and my accountant for not, when the success of Amazon took off and he started getting all this money, not saying, hey, you might want to do this. And even if he said, no, it's a bad idea, no, you really want to do this.
Because what you make from here on out now is yours.
And
or
that's
you
what
make
it was.
Concessions.
It was all during their marriage, his wealth. He wasn't wealthy when he got married. Yeah. So, what an idiot.
You know, this is up there with some pretty high-profile divorces, like Kevin Costner lost half his wealth to his ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Mel Gibson, Steven Spielberg, who was worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. Most of because of other women.
Yeah.
So, mazel to the soon-to-be new Bezoses. please, I don't want this to affect Amazon. Though I think they'll probably start selling a lot more spyware and maybe devices to detect cheating.
Too funny.
So that is The Bitter End. If you have any comments about this series or you want us to examine celebrity divorces that have riveted you over the years, we would love to tackle those. So thanks for checking out Around the Mic. Oh, and by the way, next week in The Bitter End, we're going to break down the divorce of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Ooh.
And why he no longer sees his daughter, Suri. And it's a good one. So if you like our podcast, please give us a good rating. Definitely subscribe so you always know when we post a new episode. You can find Chelsea Corinne on SoJo 104.9 weekdays from 10 to 3 p.m. And I'm Heather DeLuca. I will catch you on the radio 3 to 7 Monday through Friday. And of course, both next time on Around the Mic.